preek soos hy altyd vir ons doen. Dankie Here dat u die een is wat die skrif gegee het, Here. Dis u woorde. Dis deur u bewaar, deur u gerekord, Here, deur die generasies, Here, is dit opgepas deur die manuskripte en die woord in die Bybel, Here, deur oorloë, deur groot konflikte, Here, hierdie Bybel en die woorde wat ons lees vandag, Here, is 3,500 jaar gelede opgeneem. Vader, en daarom bid ek in Jesus naam dat soos wat u gedoen het deur die generasies, Here, dat deur die Gees hierdie woorde vir ons lewendig maak en dat ons dit kan ken in Jesus naam. Amen. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, spoke to Aaron and his sons saying, thus you shall say to the people of Israel, you shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Dis sulke mooi woorde hierdie. Die seëning wat die Here gegee het. En dis die Here self wat hierdie seëning gee, né? Dis God self wat hierdie seëning aan sy volk gegee het. En ons moet die konteks verstaan. En ons kan baie relate tot hierdie konteks. Hierdie konteks is gegee vir mense wat deur die woestyn gestap het al vir baie jare. Vir baie jare het hulle deur die woestyn gestap, stukkie vir stukkie. En hulle was 'n volk sonder eiendom met 'n belofte van eiendom. 'N volk sonder hulle eie land, swerwelinge, sonder enige sekuriteit. Hulle het open bloot in die aande geslaap. Hulle was vulnerable geweest. In die nacht, hulle het swaar tye gehad, dis elke dag se trek, kamp opslaan naar waar die water en waar die kos was. Daar was geen sekuriteit nie, jy kon die kos bære vir een dag nie, behalwe vir die Sabbat, elke liewe dag. So dit is 'n harde lewe gewees vir hierdie mense. Dis 'n dag tot dag bestaan in 'n omgewing wat nie vir hulle vriendelik was nie, in 'n omgewing wat vir hulle vyandig was, met baie vyande rondom hulle. Hulle het nou uitgevlug, hulle het God se groot mag en God se groot bevryding gesien uit Egipte uit, en hulle het hier aangekom en hulle het geland in die woestyn en hulle was op pad ergens heen gewees. En ek dink ons kan baie keer relate to hierdie. Many times we can relate to these people. Because we also are a people journeying through a land which is hostile to us. Uncertain, the little bit of security we have, every now and then we figure out that it is not secure. Every now and then we figure out that life isn't as easy as we want it to be. We have moments of peace, but in between, life is quite hard at times. And so the Lord spoke to his people, whom he delivered, and they were still traveling to the place of eternal rest, a home which is prepared for them. And God spoke these words to them, saying, I want you, and this is what he's saying, every single day, when the people meet me in the tabernacle, every single day at the daily offering, every single day, I want you to gather these people together, and then before they leave, I want you to speak this blessing over them, so that by the time they're 30 or 20 or 40 or 80, this will not only be words which they have memorized because they've heard it spoken to them every single day, but this would have become them. It becomes their identity. That we are a people that are blessed and preserved by God, in whom God smiles, in whom God graciously always forgives, in whom God always pays attention when we approach him, and God always desires peace, wholeness, shalom for us. And God himself does this for us. And this is the people. So I'd like us to, as we read this today, and we're just going to see very simple one-liner slides, but I want you to meditate on the words today, and I want you to slowly memorize it. And for the next few weeks, I want you to do this every single day in your home. Speak this. Speak this blessing over your children, over your spouse. It doesn't matter whether it's going well with you or not going well with you. I want you to speak it over your spouse and speak it over your children. I want you to look at yourself in the mirror. As a priest of God, men and women, we are a kingdom of priests, and this is our inheritance. This is our inheritance. We are the people that are blessed by God, and this is the blessing of God. The first one that we read here is that God is, on a daily basis, Israel was reminded by Aaron and by his sons for the generations to come that we are a people that have a generous God. Remember, living in the wilderness, in a hostile territory, every single day, God provides shelter from the sun in the cloud, heat at night by the fire, and every single day he provides food for them and for their cattle and for their sheep. Every single day. He is a generous God. And every single time when the people of Israel come together, they are to say that God bless you, the Lord bless you. May you live in the unmerited goodness of God. May you live in the unmerited generosity of God, a God who gives freely every single day. It doesn't matter what you did last summer, where you were. God is a generous God. It is who he is. He's a God who generously gives, who opens up his hand, who makes it rain on the just and the unjust, a God who is gracious and a God who is generous. That is who he is. He is a generous, generous God. The word ye bless that we see there is a beautiful word in the Hebrew text. It literally means to bend the knee. So when God blesses, what the text here says is that this mighty God who just delivered us from Egypt, who just brought us, who's on his way taking us into a land that flows from milk and honey, that the blessing which he does, the way in which he blesses, is in the attitude of a servant. It's a humble blessing. That means he regards the needs of his followers. And he comes, and it's amazing to think about it, but he comes in the attitude of a servant to give to the needs, which is mind-blowing, which is, I mean, for them and for us to think that the God of creation, the great God who just vanquished and just destroyed the whole Egyptian empire, the mightiest empire that ever lived on the face of the earth until that time, he's destroyed with an outstretched hand and a mighty arm, that he comes in the attitude of a servant to satisfy the needs, like the psalmist says, of every living thing. May the Lord bless you. May he come in his generosity. Israel was reminded on a daily basis that our God is a humble God. We see this in Jesus, John chapter 13. None of us, all of us immediately, when I say servant God, you say Jesus. John chapter 13. Let your leadership be so, Jesus said, as I, your Lord, bow the knee and serve you to wash your feet so that we can have a meal. So we ought to bless one another. But that's the example of God Almighty doing the menial tasks to satisfy the need of every living thing. That's the attitude that we have. Romans chapter 8, 32, he says that, if God is for us, who can be against us? He starts, and then he says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him freely, how much more will he not freely with him also give us all things? A generous God, a God who holds nothing back. On a daily basis, Israel was reminded that our God is a generous God who blesses and satisfies our need. Yes, we live in the wilderness, but we eat every single day. We are protected every single day. He's good to us every single day. On our journey, we can be reminded that the Lord is a blessing God. That's his nature. The second one there is that may the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May he preserve you. The word there, keep, preserve, guard, shelter. May he hedge you in. The Lord hedges us in behind and before. Literally, to place a wall around us. There's a scripture in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5, scripture that we know, I think many of us know well. It's during the time when Israel came back from exile and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and there were many enemies trying to destroy this small fledgling group of people that were restored to the land, who were about to rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. And they were vulnerable because the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down. So, I mean, in those days, property prices inside inside a security estate, inside the city, was high because of the walls, the high walls, the security that it provided, and the community that it provided. So it's the same for us. I think we can all relate to that. I mean, we pay a hefty price if you want to live inside a security estate, for them the same, because of the fact that there is a wall and there are centurions on the wall, so we can sleep at peace tonight. Unlike the farmers living outside, even in those days, like in our days. So the prophet spoke, saying to the people, I know that the walls of Jerusalem are broken down, but thus says the Lord, I am the Lord, I am the wall of fire around you, I will guard you. And this is the same thing that Israel heard from the Lord every single day, reminded that our God is a God who protects. While we're sleeping, He watches. I mean, there's this beautiful psalm, Psalm 121, that says, I look up to the mountains from where comes my help, but my help comes from the Lord who makes heaven and earth. He, the protector, the keeper of Israel, neither slumbers nor sleep. And we know the rest of the psalm. You can read it at home. But it's that assurance. On a daily basis, this fledgling group of people were reminded that the Lord is the one who watches over you at night. Sleep in peace. He watches over you at night, every single day. May the Lord bless you, graciously provide. May the Lord protect you every single day when you sleep. John chapter 17, Jesus prayed the same prayer for his disciples. As he was about to be crucified the next day, to die, resurrect, and ascend, this is the prayer that he prayed. He says, Father, while I was with them, I kept them in your name. But now, Father, I'll no longer be with them. So, Lord, keep them in your name. So he just echoes the Aaronic prayer to the Father. Say, Father, keep them in your name. Preserve them in your name and by your grace. The third one there is a beautiful one. And I think we need to hear this often in our high-performance society. God does not just like those who excel and do well. God does not just like those who are intelligent and those who do, the pastors and the holy people around us. That's why your wife sits in church with you every single day, to remind you that you are also accountable to God. But the fact that, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. It's an illustration. When someone's face beams, what does it mean? It means he's pleased. It means he's joyful. It means it's really going well. So it's not so deep spiritual. It's the same attitude that I have when I get home and I see Nathan and Marguerite run through the door. We were at Stillby now for a few days. Marguerite had to come back to work in the hospital. But I mean, the moment when those kids saw Marguerite again, their faces beamed. They beamed and they ran to mommy, and mommy's face beamed when she saw them. And that's the exact image that the Lord Israel here gets. He says, may the Lord, may you know on a daily basis that God is pleased with you, Israel. It's amazing. Why does Israel see God on a daily basis in the wilderness? Because of daily sin offerings that they had to take to the Lord on a daily basis. So they come to God because they are aware that I am imperfect. And the priest stands up and he says, may the Lord make his face to shine. May you remind yourself every single day that God's face is shining, is beaming on you. God's face is beaming. He's pleased to see you. There's many times when we say God loves you, it's sometimes the word is used so much that it, you know, it can mean anything from your attitude towards chocolate to, you know, your fuzzy toy that you like at home. But a better word probably will be that God delights in you. And this is what this word means, is that God really delights when he sees you. He's very pleased. He takes pleasure in looking at you. He takes pleasure in looking at you. And this is what the psalmist, this is what Aaron had to say to the people every day. And I'm saying to you today that God delights in looking at you. That when he looks at you, he is delighted. He's so happy. He's so pleased to look at you every single day when you approach him. He's so pleased to see you. The Lord is friendly towards you. He makes his face shine upon you. And then the next one is that the Lord be gracious to you. The fourth thing that Aaron on a daily basis had to remind the people of Israel is our God is a gracious God. Our God is a generously forgiving God. Our God delights in forgiving. He is just, the psalmist says, and he's righteous. But the psalmist says also that he's gracious, eager to forgive. I love the phrase there, eager to forgive. He's ready to forgive all those who call upon him. And that is the attitude of God, that he is ready and eager to forgive. That our sins, and that they come to him every day because they're sinful in the wilderness and they fellowship with him. But he's saying, please get this, that I am ready to forgive. I'm ready to forgive the first time you make the offense. I'm ready to forgive the thousandth time you make the offense. Why? Because that is my nature. I am patient towards you. I love you. I am gracious. That's my attitude. I love what the one psalmist says, Psalm 103, no? Verse 10, I think. It says that the Lord is that he's ready to forgive, but he says, "Ach man, ek het nou vergeet." Psalm 103. That he's ready to forgive us. But anyway, forgive me. I can't get it now. My wife will look it up for me. Thank you so much. Bless the Lord of my soul and all that is within me. He says here, he will not always be angry with us, but he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. And that's what the psalmist, what David is amazed about, is that God doesn't treat us based on our performance. And that's what it says. He's a just God, but somehow he is gracious. That he doesn't treat us as we perform, but he treats us based on his generosity, his graciousness. That he's ready to forgive. He treats us based on his mercy. And that's the Luke chapter 18, the tax collector versus the sinner. The tax collector versus the Pharisee. The Pharisee comes and says, see how great I am. And the tax collector comes and the Lord says, and he says, Lord, see how gracious you are. Thank you for forgiving me. I know that you're a gracious God. Our God is gracious. He's faithful and just to forgive us. John says, 1 John 1 verse 9, that the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us. And I'd just like to pause there for a second. He's faithful in his generous nature to forgive us when we confess our sins. But then he says that he is just to forgive us. And you go like, but that doesn't make sense. If he was just, how can he forgive us? If he was just, as hy regverdig is, hoe kan hy ons vergewe? But that's what I love about the cross. He's just because a righteous God cannot punish two people for the same sin. A righteous judge cannot punish two people for the same crime. He is just. He has to forgive us if we approach him in Christ, because Christ already bore our iniquities and the punishment of our iniquities upon himself. He is faithful and he's just. He's a gracious God. He's made provision for our forgiveness long before we were born. And then this beautiful phrase, daily remind Israel that I lift up my head when my child walks in. Daily remind Israel that I'm not too distracted by running creation or too busy for a small child with a small issue. Daily remind Israel that I'm a God who lifts up my head when one of my children walks into the door to talk to me. Daily remind Israel that when he calls, I'm not too busy. I will pick up the phone and I will give my full attention. I love it. When I was working in the Air Force still as an engineer, Mahrit used to phone during a break of his studies in the hospital, and then I'd pick up the phone and then she just says, Ross, jy het jou werkstem aan. Which means I was typing while I'm talking to her. God doesn't type while he talks to me. God doesn't type while he talks to me. The Lord lifts up my head. It's a picture. And I think in all our homes, we can relate to this. And it's not just in our homes. It's when you go into a tax office, or when you go to a shop assistant, or when you speak to someone, that they give you half attention. But we've all experienced the opposite as well. There was the one moment or the one person that whenever you walk into the room, they lift up their face and they beam and they put everything down and they go, yes, it's so good to see you. It is so good to see you. I so am happy to see you. And this is what Israel was reminded to on a daily basis, that God is really interested, that God is attentive to us, that he pays attention. And it's not just half attention. Remember the two verses earlier, he delights in us. His face beams And when we walk in, he stops everything and he gives all our attention to him. He says, Israel, you ought to be remind yourself daily of this, that you have my undeserved attention. I love when you come to me. I love when you approach me. You get all my attention every single day. And then there a picture of two middle-aged people joyfully jumping up. And this is such a beautiful picture to me of the shalom that we read here. May the Lord give you peace. May the Lord give you peace. May you dwell in peace. Isaiah 54, is the chapter heading is the chapter, God's Eternal Covenant of Peace. It's a beautiful chapter. And in verse 10, we read, it says, even though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, my unfaithful love will never be shaken, and my peace will never, ever be removed from you, says the Lord. And then verse 13, he says, all your children will be taught of the Lord, and they will live in my covenant of peace. And the word peace there is the word which all the Jews always bless one another with, the shalom. It just speaks of wholesomeness. It speaks of unreserved plentifulness. It speaks of carelessness. It speaks of an absence of hostility and fear. It doesn't just speak of not fighting, but it speaks about a life without striving. And this is what God prays for us, and this is what God delights in us. And every single time when these people pack up their tents to walk to another destination, awaiting their promised land, they ought to be reminded every single day that this is what God says. May you live in peace. May you live carefree in this world, although it's a desert, and although you don't see plenty, may you have abundance for the day, and may you enjoy the richness of my blessing and my presence with you now. May you lack nothing. This is my attitude, and this is my desire for you, says God. May you live in peace, this wholesomeness, this life-giving fullness, the prosperity. And when I say prosperity, I know there are so many negative connections. Just take the biblical one where God says, I desire that you, 3 John 1, it says, beloved, I pray that you may be in health and live in prosperity even as your soul prospers. That desire that God really has for us. And the Lord says, every day in this desert, tell my people, I pray my desire is for them to live a carefree life, to live a life without striving, enjoying the benefits without any anguish, without any anxiety. It's really a time waster as a Christian to waste your time on worrying about stuff. Because this is what this verse says. Cast all your cares on the Lord because He is concerned about you. He cares for you. God is genuinely concerned about you. Cast all your worries on the Lord because He is concerned. He cares for you, the Bible says. James. Is it Peter? I think it's Peter. So this is what it says in verse 26 that we just read earlier. Verse 26, he says, do this on a daily basis. Speak this blessing over the people on a daily basis, and so put my name on them. And for us, it's a foreign concept, you know. Do we get a stamp that says Christian? Should I put a fish bumper sticker like all our parents did on my car? You know, should I put a sticker that says property of Jesus? You know, all those are good things, but I don't think that was what the Lord had intended for the people living in the desert. You know, on the back of their camels, there was a stamp ironed in that says Jesus inside, something like that. We've all seen the stickers. But what it means in those days, when he says to put my name on them, it speaks about to be associated. Let my character so resound with you. May you know and resemble my character. The scripture we have here at the back. May you know me like this God who is generous, who's keeping you, who's friendly, who's forgiving, who's interested in whose life giving. May you know me like this, but also may my character be embodied in you. May you become like me. May you become a people that is generous, like me. May you be a people that lives for the preservation and protection of those that are weak. May you become people that are friendly and kind to towards everyone that beams when you see every person, because every person is created in the image of God. May you become a people that is graciously forgiving. This is what the church has always been known for, eh? That love those, bless those who curse you. That preservation of the church through the ages. May you be a person that is always attentive to everyone, because God pays attention to everyone. And may you do well and care for the needs of others so that they may live in peace, even as I cause everyone to live in peace, even though the microphone makes a bang noise. But this is what he prays for. He says, may my name rest upon you. That means on a daily basis, immerse yourself in this nature of God and become him. Every single day, remind that the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Every single day, may you become that person. And then there's this last bit. It says so beautiful, that my name may rest, that they may know my name, that my name may, and so I'll put my name on them. And then he closes with the phrase, and I will bless them. Israel, let Aaron and the priests on a daily basis bless you. Every single day that you get together, may they speak of the greatness of this God who generously blesses, who protects, who cares, who pays attention, who smiles, who's forgiving in nature, and who gives peace to you. May they boast in my name. May they tell you how great I am. And God says, I'll do it. Dolph earlier said, we can't outgive God. I want to say we can't outboast God to his people. The Lord says, this is what I will do. I will be faithful to my character. I will be faithful to my promise. I am God. This is what I will do to you. I will bless you. I will keep you. I will forgive you. I will lift up my face every time that you come into the room. I'm beaming about you. God says, I will give you peace. And God says, I will pay attention to you every single time you call on me. This is the God that I am. He says, you put my name on them. God says, I will perform it. You're sitting here today, and I'm always so aware, you know, that when we come together, that everyone is busy with their own lives out there, you know. It's sort of a space where we're all just in limbo. I come to you, and I come with all my concerns and all my joy and all my anticipation, all my plans. We come as a family to God. We come as individuals to God. But life out there is continuing. So I want to do this, and I'm going to ask you to do this with one another as well. You don't have to follow the formula, but take the one thing that stands out for you the most and just say it and pray it over the person next to you. Maybe it was the fact that God is actually sincerely concerned and interested about you. That he's sincerely interested in you. Maybe that's the thing. Or maybe the fact that today you want to believe that God is ready to forgive you. That he's poised to forgive you. That you're sitting with this guilt or this shame that you're living in. But I want to say to you that our God is ready to forgive everyone. Because that's his nature. He is generous. I bless you and I say, our God is gracious. Or maybe it's the fact that you really have a real pressing need. And you're saying, God, thank you for yesterday's manna. It's done. It's up. Then I'm going to tell you that the Lord bless you generously. He really is concerned about you. Don't worry. God is concerned about your cares every single day. That's who our God is. So if you just want to put up the slide there, the scripture, thank you, dit is daar. Wow. Huh? Se rede hoekom hulle jou FD gemaak het. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lifts up his face every time you enter the room. And the Lord grant you peace. We're speaking about it now, but the Lord will perform it. Because this is what he said he is. He is the covenant God of his people. He cannot change his nature. I want you to take a moment now, and I just want you in small groups. Some of you are visiting today, so if you're intimidated by interaction, then just act like a statue. Someone will come to you and have a conversation with you, but you don't have to do anything. But if you can just take a moment, and just the thing that pressed on your heart the most, just say to the person, and then after saying it, just pray it for them. Just pray to them and say, this is who God is that stands out for me today. What I want to bless you and say, God really pays attention to you. God notices you. God loves you. And then just bless them. And you're welcome to have a conversation after that. But let's just take a moment and bless one another, as Israel said, we should do that. Amen.